y'all, Motown Tom here, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing and tune in to the Jukebox of Motown every Wednesday morning from 9 until noon. It ain't nothing but a Motown dance party, so join the dance line, and we're gonna be dancing in the streets every Wednesday.
WCUW is smart radio, programmed by real people serving smart people just like you who appreciate and support community radio. And welcome to hour number 4 of the Jukebox of Motown. Motown Tom here, your very own Agent 00 Soul, bringing you the very best of the Motown sound each and every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. 4 solid hours of great Motown music every Wednesday, part of the Monday through Friday Jukebox series here on WCUW. No matter what your taste in music, you're going to find it right here on WCUW and the Jukebox every weekday morning, 9 to 1. Different host every day, different style of music, and we have it all for you. And right now, we have a very special treat for you because we have with us live from Los Angeles at a very early hour of the morning out on the West Coast, none other than Sherry Payne, formerly of the Supremes. Sherry, welcome to the Jukebox.
Thank you. Happy to be there.
And so glad that you could join us on the Jukebox this morning, Sherry. Now, let's just jump right into it. You're making a very rare East Coast concert appearance this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock in Waltham, on the Common in Waltham, at the Mayor's annual doo-wop concert. And you're going to be gracing the stage with Suse Green, also formerly of the Supremes, and Joyce Vincent, formerly of Dawn. So what can the fans expect from your show Saturday night?
Well, of course, we'll be doing a lot of the Supreme songs, older songs, and from the 60s and 70s, and a couple that I did when I was in the group in the 70s. And we're just going to have a great time. Just a great time. We're really looking forward to it because since we haven't been on the East Coast in a long, long time.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about, Sherry. And I've heard that there are going to be fans coming from all over the East to see the show Saturday night because it has been so long since you've been here for a live concert appearance. So I think it's going to be a rocking audience.
Yeah. In fact, I know that Carmine Porcaro is coming and Paul Percelli.
Oh, wow.
And my... Linda DiStefano.
Yeah, I heard from Linda. Yeah. Oh, wow. Great. Yeah. Great. Oh, it's going to be a party. It's going to be a party.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I was trying to talk Carl Fehrenbacher into coming. I don't know if he may surprise me or not.
That would be fun. Yeah, I haven't seen Carl in years.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, that would be great. So let me ask you, Sherry. What's it like now working with Suse and Joyce finally after all these years? Because this was the grouping that was supposed to carry on after the Supremes, after Mary Wilson left the Supremes in 1977, right? You wanted Joyce to replace Mary, and the three of you go on. So now what's it like all these years later to finally have realized this amazing group of talent together?
Isn't it amazing? We talked about, we laugh about it too, because it was in after Mary decided to go solo in 77, and Suse and I were there. Well, what are we going to do now? So we started auditioning different ladies, wonderful people. But then I decided that, you know what, Suse, you need to meet my dear friend Joyce Vincent Wilson. Well, she goes by Vincent now, Joyce Vincent, who was a former member, original member of Tony Orlando and Dawn. So we went out to lunch. She met Joyce and blah, 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 and she just loved her. So we decided this is it. And then we told, informed Suzanne DePass at Motown what we had decided. And then a few weeks later, the edict came down from someone above that since there was no original member left in the group, they were going to retire the group. And so there it went out the window. And that's when Suse and I became just a duo and did our album Partners. But here we are, that was in 1978, 40 years later. And we're back together.
It's amazing.
Together again.
See, if you just wait long enough, dreams happen, right? Dreams happen if you just wait for them. It's a super group too. The three of you together just are a super combination.
Thank you. Well, I was last year when Lawrence decided to retire. I was devastated. That's my dear friend. I love her so much, and she was such a force in the group. But that was her decision. So we had to respect that. But I was so devastated. But I wish her the best, and she's enjoying her life now. So then we thought, well, who are we going to get? Then of course, Susay. So called up Susay, and she said, absolutely, I'd be happy to join you. So Eric Iverson, who is our right hand, we couldn't do anything without Eric. We just hit the sky, the ceiling. We were so overwhelmed and overjoyed.
That's
here we are, years later.
That's
back
great.
Well,
And that's one thing that the Supremes never lacked for talent. The amazing women who were members of the Supremes. You and Susay and Linda and Sherry and Cindy, Florence, Mary and Diana. Just amazing talent in that group through the years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Each lady.
Yeah.
So individually brought her own amazing talents to the group.
Yes.
I'm so proud to have been a part of that.
Yeah. And we're so lucky that you and Mary and Diana and Susay are really still out there, to entertain and to keep the legacy and the memory alive. That's, I think that's something that the fans very much appreciate. I know the people who listen to the Motown Jukebox here at WCUW call in all the time asking for songs from the 60s and the 70s from the Supremes. So there's still a really strong base out there. So it's, and the fact that we can still have the chance to go out and see you like we will be able to Saturday night in Waltham is really great. So now you grew up in Detroit, and so you were there when Motown was getting started. What are some of your memories of growing up in Detroit and being there as this record company was kind of taking control of everything?
I know, it's amazing. Actually, Frida was Berry Gordy's first female artist. A lot of people don't know that. And this was even before he had Motown. He was still working in the auto factory and writing his songs with Jackie Wilson. His family belonged to the same church as ours, Bethel AME. So he knew my mother, our family. And my mother, in fact, worked in his parents' grocery store as a teenager. And so he had heard Frida singing around the city, and so he approached her about singing, and one thing led to another, and so she started going over his house to record rehearse. And he loved Doris Day, so he always emphasized to her, establish the melody. And after that, you can go on and wail away. But anyway, then one day during the summer, he and his business partner, George Kelly, who owned a club there, decided they were going to go to New York to get a record deal. So they took, in George's Cadillac, we rode to New York, my mother, myself, and Frida, and Barry, and we all went to New York, and it was an amazing trip. And then afterwards, he sat down with a contract because he wanted to manage Frida, but my mother and Barry could not come to terms on the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So she was not excited about Frida recording anyway, so she wasn't going to, just accept anything. So she had her own amendments she wanted to make to the contract.
Yeah.
But they just couldn't agree, so it didn't happen. And it was after that he formed Motown. But Frida remembers going up to Barry's to rehearse, and she remembers the Miracles were there. She remembers Smokey and Claudette, and they were at the embryonic stage, too, of their career.
Mm-hmm.
But Motown went on to happen and became a giant, a force to be dealt with.
Yes.
And they didn't even realize what they had, that it was going to grow to this this miracle, you might call it. Just fantastic. Barry was a stickler. He was a stickler about rehearsing and working hard, and that's what he did. He worked hard and he made it happen.
Yeah, and obviously it paid off, because the music is still, we're still listening to that music 60 years later. So
that's right.
And
timeless.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard that story about Frieda and Berry Gordy before. So that was interesting to hear that story right now.
Yeah, we were about 12 and 14 years old at
wow.
the time.
Huh. So no wonder your mother was so watchful.
She was. My mother trained us from young girls. She wanted us to have class, and so we had ballet lessons, and our instructor was, what was his name, Nicholas Sukolov, I think, and he had a ballet studio in Woodward, and that's where we went, young girls. We were just probably like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and we started piano lessons at a young age, around 6 or so. Ruth Johnson was our piano teacher. And you know, we practiced walking with a book on our head and learning etiquette. My mother was a stickler about that. Class. Her daughters were going to have class.
Yes. Well, that all paid off too. So now, did you ever dream that you would eventually end up recording at Motown Records?
Oh no, I never thought that. Never thought it. I had. My mind was just in another direction, and I had gone on after I graduated from high school. Well, Frieda graduated first, 2 years ahead of me, and then she went right on the road with Pearl Bailey. That was her first gig. And then when I graduated from Central High, same high school, I went on to Michigan State, and I got my degree in medical technology. I knew I didn't want to be a medical technologist, but that's what I did. But anyway, when I graduated, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't do my year internship in a hospital because I knew that's not what I didn't want to do that. And so I just started teaching. As mother said, you got to get a job, you got to do something. So I started teaching in Grayling School of Observation off of State Fair in Woodward. Senior ungraded boys. And then one day Frieda came back from New York where she was living, and she was on the phone talking with Eddie Holland. And so I had started writing songs. And so I knew she was talking to him, and so I just got on the piano and I started playing as loud as I could, singing. And so Eddie called me to the phone. He said, "Oh, what was that you were playing?" I said, "Oh, just a little tune that I wrote." He said, "Do you have any more?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I got lots more." And so he said, "What about, you want to come and we'll have somebody pick you up and you can play some for us?" I said, okay, I don't care. And so they sent Ron Dunbar around and picked me up and took me over to Lamont. And I played several of my songs. Brian and Edward were there, and I think Jeffrey Bowen, and of course, Ron. And I played 5 songs. And then they said, "Well, we want to sign you to our company, Invictus." And so they already had Frieda, of course. They had the Honeycomb, and they really didn't need another female lead singer. So they put me in a group. They said, "We're going to form this group with you and Ty Hunter." And then they added Larry Mitchell, and then finally selected Pearl Jones. And that was the Glass House.
Aha. And I just played a couple of Glass House tracks a little while ago on the show. I played Horse and Rider and The Fox. So and let's see.
Oh, wow. Those are 2 of the songs that I wrote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. And what I think Horse and Rider, Holland and Dozier also co-wrote with you?
Horse and Rider? No, I wrote the whole thing. I guess I don't know how they put their name on
there.
Oh,
well, you know, those things happen.
I know. Total me. Totally me.
Yeah.
Arrangement, everything.
Wow, great.
And the Fox, I couldn't stand listening to the Fox because it didn't come out like I wanted to. I should have had more input in the production of it, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't listened to it probably since then.
Well, lots of folks got to listen to it this morning. So
oh God.
so then how did you then make the transition from being part of Glass House to joining the Supremes in 1973? I mean, that was a huge leap.
Yes, it was. Well, Lamont Dozier at that time had become my boyfriend. And he was on a trip up here to California, and he ran into Mary Wilson at a party or an event, And she told him that Jean Carell had just left the group and they were looking for another singer, lead singer. So he told her about me. And Mary called me, and in fact, I remember I was, I was over to my best friend's house, Walter and Barbara Gaines. Walt was the one of the members of the group, the original.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
Baby, I'm For Real, yeah, the Bells. So they were my, they are my best friends. Well, Walt is deceased, so Barb is my very best friend. And so anyway, we were, I got the call from my mother, and she said that Mary Wilson had called me. So anyway, Mary called me over to Walt and Barb, and she told me that she'd like for me to send some materials to her. So I sent, I think, a copy of the album or cassette, I should say, some pictures. And then, it was then that she called me back. I was over to, that's when I was over to Walt and Barb to say that she had received it and she liked what she saw and wanted me to come out to L.A. And I said, okay. She said, when? Now, this was a Thursday, I remember. She said, Saturday. I said, Saturday? I said, well, oh, okay. And so then I remember Barbara screaming, oh, my goodness, you're going to go to California, blah, 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 blah. So it ended up, actually, her brother-in-law, Walt's brother, took me to the airport. But when I got home that Thursday night, I told Mama about Mary wanting me to come out to L.A. that Saturday, 2 days later. And I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. This is dreams. Am I crazy? What was I thinking? And so naturally, she gave me that mother pep talk, as mothers will do.
Oh, yes.
And so I got on the plane, and Cindy Birdsong and her husband, Charles, met me at the airport, and we went straight to Mary's house. And I started, I auditioned. I sang some things with Mary and Cindy. And she said, well, we have this job, I think, the following Saturday in New Mexico, State Fair. And so that whole week, I was trying to learn steps, songs.
Oh my goodness.
And I was staying with I was staying at Frida's. So anyway, we did the gig that following Saturday, and she said, if I got this, she said, you got the job. And so Bill Loeb, who was the manager then, afterwards hugged me and said, well, you got the job. And that was it. So
wow.
I had to go back home, of course, to regroup and repack and get myself together to make the move to come back out here. But it was like, oh my, I was like a zombie.
Oh, that, yes.
It was overwhelming. Yeah.
I mean, talk about a whirlwind. All that in just 1 week's time. That was
exactly. That was October of 1973.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so then you were with the Supremes until 1977. So a good long four year run with the group. And,
right.
So once you were, you know, officially in them, what was it like being a Supreme, being part of the biggest female singing group the world had ever seen?
Well, for a long time, you know, I didn't feel worthy. It was hard for me to start signing autographs. It was like, oh, I'm not worthy. And I wouldn't talk much. And then gradually, I fell into it. I mean, Cindy was like such a dear, warm person. She was became more like a sister. And of course, Mary was so endearing and helpful. And it was just a wonderful time. So many memories going to countries I had never been to or would have had the experience of going to had I still been in Detroit. And it was just, it was a whirlwind, just like you said. It was just a blessing. That's what I call it. A blessing from God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it seems to me as if your life today is kind of a whirlwind too. You have so much going on with your career and with your life right now. I understand that you've been in the studio with a recording tracks for a new CD, and there's a So I want to talk a little bit about that too, to so that our listeners have a chance to hear about what's going on with Sherry Payne in 2018. So you've got this volume two of Vintage Sherry that you're working on right now,
right? With Rick Giannatis, yes, who is producing it, and we're really excited about it. We're doing some wonderful songs, songs that we had in the can before, and then adding some more songs like The Man That Got Away, and Am I Losing My Mind, and wonderful songs.
Wow, that's
not
great.
Not just, what, as I call, boom, boom, boom songs.
Well, yes, and so here I heard from Rick yesterday, and he said that The Man That Got Away is going to be the first single off of the new CD.
Yeah.
And of course, that's that wonderful Judy Garland song from A Star Is Born.
Yeah. Oh, I love that song. Oh, that was such a wonderful movie. Oh.
Yeah.
Great Judy Garland.
So we are talking with Sherry Payne, formerly of the Supremes, who will be here in Waltham, Massachusetts this coming Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on the Waltham Common with Suse Green and Joyce Vincent for the Mayor's annual doo-wop concert. And it is a free show on the Waltham concert. Going to be a great, great night. And we're all keeping our fingers crossed that the weather is going to be good.
We were looking at the forecast yesterday at rehearsal. Oh, rain, please, rain, go away.
We have had rain for five straight days here. So we're all doing our best to try and blow it out before you get here on Saturday.
Oh. Well, I think by Saturday, I think it's just going to be a 20% chance of rain.
So we'll hopefully that it won't affect things. So So then I know there's also Rick also told me that you've got another CD coming out, a remastering of Supreme Voices, which is a CD that you and Gene Terrell and Linda Lawrence recorded a number of years ago, and it's being remastered now, and all sorts of other wonderful things that Rick is including in that for the fans. So tell me a little bit about that.
Right. Well, the Supreme Collection, as we call it, Supreme Voices. And that was with when Sundre Tucker, Linda's sister, was singing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I just love her voice. So we did a wonderful lot of things like Give Me the Night and Sisters United. Mm-hmm. And we just had such a fun time doing those songs. It was just a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Wonderful time.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful wonderful package when it comes out, because I know it's also going to include a bonus DVD of your 20th anniversary show out in Los Angeles with Linda and with Gene. So
absolutely, yeah. And Sundre was there, and Suse came too.
Ah, great! Wow. That's something that the fans really will be looking forward to. So what I would love to do is especially when Vintage Sherry Volume 2 comes out, I'd love to get you back on the show so we can talk more in depth about that project as well. But now you also are a very talented playwright as well.
Well, I try. I love writing. Screenplay writing and stage play writing. I have a play that's being put on next Sunday, a week from this coming Sunday, on the 26th of August at the Barnsdale Theater here in Hollywood, 4800 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. And it's called A Lady in Waiting. And it was Donald Welch, who was the director-producer, put it up about 2 years ago here in North Hollywood. And I have to say that two of the ladies got nominated in the Best Supporting Actress category by the NAACP Theater Award.
Wow.
And I'm very proud of that, yes. So this is a new cast with the exception of the lead role played by Thais Walsh, who is fierce. Well, the whole cast is fierce. And so I've been at the rehearsals, and Don, he knows how to pick them. So he did it. There are only five members in the cast, but it's a fierce cast.
Wow.
And it's about a woman on trial for murdering her husband.
Uh-huh.
So there are a lot of twists and turns to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And an intense drama. It's not for children.
Yeah, yeah.
An intense drama. So I'm very, very proud of this work.
Well, yes, and
hopefully maybe we're going to have it filmed, and we're going to hopefully maybe enter it into some festivals, and who knows, maybe I'll be able to tour it.
That would be
all over.
That would be wonderful. And I hear for the show on the 26th, they had to move it to a larger theater.
Yes, they did.
Which is wonderful.
The Barnes Theater is wonderful. It sits atop a hill in Hollywood, and it also has an art gallery attached to it, and it overlooks Los Angeles. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue.
Wow.
Beautiful venue.
Oh, that's so exciting. That is, I couldn't be happier for that success for you as well. So,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Sherry, if you had to choose, is there one career highlight for you that stands out head and shoulders above all the other amazing things that you've been able to do and to accomplish in your career? Is there one thing that you just look at and say, that's when I knew I made it?
You know, I don't know. There were so many heights or plateaus. I think probably, of course, when I did the tour with Diana in 2000,
mm-hmm.
that was an ultimate, mm-hmm. you know, 'cause Diana is who she is.
Right.
And, but there are also so many momentous events with Mary and Cindy, and then even Susay. I think I can't particularly say just one, because they were all so wonderful.
Yeah.
And the fans who supported us throughout the years, who just kept us going and motivating us, people who put in so much to help us keep going, too, even after Mary left the group. Of course, like I mentioned, Eric Iverson and then Steve Weaver in the UK and David Kramlich here and people like Tony Williams here and Jim Safin in the UK.
Oh, yes.
So many.
Yeah.
Carl Fierbacher. I can go on and on. Nick Strange. So many supporters who did so much to keep us going and motivate us. Tony Turner. I could just go on and on and
right,
on.
Yeah. I mean, the fans really are legendary.
Nick Strange. So many people.
Yeah.
There's not just one thing that I could say that I can name as the ultimate.
Yeah.
The tour with Diana was pretty close to the top, but I had many more.
Yeah.
Many more.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's a good thing to have a life that has been so full of mountaintop experiences that you can't really name just one that stands out. I mean, I think that's the life that we all should aspire for, is to have that kind of life and to feel that joy of life all the time.
That's right, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also have to mention that besides the stage plays, I've written 21 screenplays. So I'm just waiting for that one door to open so I can go in and I say, well, here I have 21 screenplays besides my three stage plays.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for that door to open.
And the last
screenplay I called The Glory of Young Men, and that's about seven guys growing up in a neighborhood and the different divergent paths that they chose that led them from young boys or teens to grown men. One being in prison, one going off to the army, one becoming a crooked politician, and so on and so forth. And it's called The Glory of Young Men. Then I have another one that I entered to do a contest last year, and it made the semifinals, called The Circus Doesn't Stop Here Anymore. And it involves a city that's dying in Mississippi, and it ends up where a 9-year-old boy does end up being murdered. And what happens after that when a reporter goes to investigate. So, but I have 21 screenplays.
Wow.
We love it.
Yeah. And, you know, and when the time is right, that door will open.
Yes.
And you're ready to walk through it when it does open, which is really great.
I keep saying, Lord, you gave me this, you gave me all these ideas. You gave me the talent. So, open the door. I'm getting older.
yeah. We all are.
Yeah, we all are.
We all are. So
I'm really excited about A Lady in Waiting, though. I'm just really excited. I'm really excited about that. Maybe this might be the one that might open the door for me, and I'm so proud of the cast members. Like I said, Thais Walsh and Carl Gilliard, who plays the judge, and Rich Rell, who plays the son, Thais's son, and Nicolia Pettis, who plays her daughter, and then Lauren Elliott, who's playing the prison guard. They are fierce.
Wow.
Lady-in-Waiting at the Barnstable Theater, August 26th at 5 p.m.
All right.
Here in Hollywood, 4800 Hollywood Boulevard.
Great. That's good to get that out so that everyone will know where to find Lady-in-Waiting. That's great.
Right, Lady-in-Waiting. Yeah. Waiting for her time to come.
And we are talking with Sherry Payne, formerly of the Supremes. And Sherry, along with Suse Green and Joyce Vincent, will be in Waltham this coming Saturday night for a 7 p.m.
Yes.
concert on the Waltham Common. And we're all looking forward to that. And Sherry, as we're kind of winding our chat up this morning, do you have any words of wisdom that you want to share with the listeners of the Jukebox Motown?
Always keep your focus up, not down. You know, it's easy to get down when things aren't going your way, or you have some challenges. You know, I get depressed easily. I've always had that problem, and I've admitted it. And but I always look to God. And sometimes, you know, it'll be through a prayer. And sometimes I've gotten so depressed I didn't even feel like praying. And somebody will call me, or I'll read something, or I'll see something on TV, or that will inspire me, or see someone else's story that's much, much worse than mine, or be on the street, I see somebody, a child in a wheelchair or something, or I could tell someone who has an affliction and maybe with cerebral palsy or something, or anything, blind, and I think, oh my God, forgive me. Forgive me for feeling sorry for myself, for not realizing how blessed I am. I may not have everything I want, but I have everything I need. And God is amazing, and we don't look to Him enough. But He is the source. He is the source. He's my supply and my supplier. And I give Him all the glory for everything. He gave me my voice. He gave my sister's voice. So don't give up. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's always another day, another sunrise. And you never know what can happen, 24 little hours.
That's right, yes.
So if you're down, you're only down for a minute. You can only go so far, and then you look up, and then you rise. And don't be around a lot of negative people, because they'll have you feeling negative.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, be around positive people. And there's nothing wrong with dreaming. I put on a musical last year called The Dream Seekers. And my daughter, Shoshana Payne Phillip, who has a vocal studio here in Studio City, La Voix Studio, meaning the voice in French. Well, her students, along with some of my friends, put on this musical called The Dream Seekers. And the Dream Seekers are the children of the world who are wondering why there's so much angst and violence and prejudice. Why can't we get along? And the children dream for peace, world peace. And it was a wonderful production. And our former Congresswoman Diane Watson was there, and she said this needs to be put on a bigger level because the world needs to hear this message.
Yes.
It's needed. It's what's happening right now. So much violence, and it's just awful. But dream, there's nothing wrong. Dreams can come true. Just keep on dreaming.
That's right, yes.
And just don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams.
Absolutely.
That's all you have sometimes. Don't give up on your dreams. Just keep working, 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 working. And don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it, because you can.
You can.
And if not now, then later.
Yes.
God will say later.
Yes.
And if not now, He might say, better. I've got something even better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And I think you are, you know, a living, breathing example of that philosophy. And you know, and certainly through your music and through your writing, you know, you're bringing love into the world. And I think, you know, I think that's what we each have to do. We each have to use our own God-given talent to bring healing and love and hope into our world. And each of us can play a part in that. So,
that's
something that you are doing and doing so beautifully.
Thank you. And hone your craft, you know, learn as much as you can about it. And read. I know it's a new challenging world now with all this technology. The kids read anymore. They just go on the computer. But anyway,
yeah.
But try to learn as much as you can and have some class about yourself. Some of these young girls, I look at them, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Oh. My mother wouldn't use these words, but I say class, not ass.
Yes, right. I agree, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So class,
yes.
Not your ass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Jukebox this morning. It has been an absolute delight talking with you and catching up with you, and we're all looking forward to seeing you, Susse, and Joyce on Saturday night on the Waltham Common for the mayor's annual doo-wop concert at 7 p.m., and we will see you there.
Oh, we're so excited. Joyce and Susse and I are just so excited about coming out there, and I'm excited that I will see you and Barbara.
Yes, yes, Barbara sends her love, so she's looking forward to it as well, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks, Sherry, and we'll see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jukebox today.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Oh, you're welcome.
Love everybody.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
And that was Sherry Payne, formerly of the Supremes, sharing with us some of her Motown memories and the projects that she's involved with right now. And, of course, she will be in Waltham this coming Saturday evening for a free concert on the Waltham Common along with Susse Green and Joyce Vincent. So if you want to see legendary Supremes up close and personal, this is your chance. So she's just a delight. Just a delight, delight, delight.
Hey, y'all. Motown Tom here, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing and tune in to the Jukebox of Motown every Wednesday morning from 9 until noon. It ain't nothing but a Motown dance party, so join the dance line, and we're gonna be dancing in the streets every Wednesday. Stop.